Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Lord Jesus, Lord, once again we've come to feed, Lord, upon that unfailing body word of the Son of Man, upon that great revealed body word of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, the living God made flesh. Lord, not just 2,000 years ago, but once again in this last days. And we thank you, Father, to be a part of this great revelation, Lord. We know that it's a privilege. We know that it's election, Father, that is predestination, that no one can see these things except you reveal yourself, except you call them and draw them, Lord, and that you put a hunger and thirst within them. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, may you just continue to guide us, continue to speak to our hearts, continue to reveal yourself. So we ask your blessings upon each one, those that are not able to be here tonight, that you would be with each one. Bless them and keep them now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. I'll be here. Good to see you, each one. And we're just thankful for his mercy and grace. And Sister Juanita, now she's went down to Florida for Thanksgiving. And so we want to be in prayer for her. She's traveling and that she'll have a good time there with the family. And this is, I guess, probably the one holiday of the year that we enjoy because it's a time we can get together with the family. And and so there's a lot of movement across the U.S. And it's busy time on the roads. And but we thank the Lord. We have family that came in today from Florida. And so they'll be with us this coming week, the next week or so. And of course, my mom's been here for some time. We thank you for your prayers for her and for Brother Richard. He's, it's just slow. But every day, you can see something. Every day, you can see something. Every day, his hand is moving a little bit more. He's talking a little bit more clear. And, he still forgets some things. He still has moments of confusion. But he's doing very well. And he's talking. Last night, we sat with him a while, and it's been a long day for me, so I was tired. So I said, well, let's go for a walk. So we just walked up. I pushed him up and down every single hallway. We looked in every door, every window, everywhere. We talked to people all the way. And, you know, as you go along in those places, you start knowing people. And so Betty is there on the first one, and what's the guy in the room now? Russell. Yeah, I keep forgetting his name. I want to get that one. And then I met another brother, an elderly black man last night. His name is Michael. Yeah, and he's been looking for a good cup of coffee, and so I'm going to take him on one of my trips there. So he told me that last night he was wanting a cup of coffee. And so, you know, they just say, yeah, and they go on. And so you don't know if they're really going to come or not. And I talked to him. We were talking with him a little bit, and he said, yeah, they might bring it. But he said, it's going to be cold. So I said, poor guy. And so we walked. And so we came back, and he got to his room and was crawling in bed. And they had brought him a cup of coffee. And so we went in and talked to him. I said, do you need anything? He said, yeah. He said, I like cream and sugar. So we went back down the hallway and we found the cart and we found the cream and sugar and we brought it back and fixed it for him. And it's a real, real nice guy. And we've talked to several. Some of them, unfortunately, are really out of it and they're just there. Others are, you know, they're in recovery and they'll go home sometime. And so that's what we're believing for Brother Richard, and that the Lord's going to continue to bless him and strengthen him and strengthen Sister Edith as she's going back and forth. Amen. So it's been really hard on her going out at night, and she's been given the letting Brother Richard listen during the daytime to the messages, and so that's good. And then the best he can. So now I haven't talked to Brother Gumba on the phone. I did talk to him by text, and he's really busy, and as you knew he would be. And that's the kind of man you like to support, is that one who's just gonna be working for the Lord and doing something. And so we thank God for that. And he's the one that you're trying to get him to relax, you know, slow down, take a day off, take some time off. You know, you want him to enjoy something, because all of his time he's just go, go, go. But that's how he's built. And so we just want to continue to pray for him, and that the Lord would help him. And we've met several people online. I've told you about some of these new groups that have popped up, and three or four or five of them. And I don't know how they get our names, but they put us in there, and so, and then they kick us out. A couple of the groups have a lot of the brothers from Uganda in it, and so I've been past some of those brothers, are the ones I met the first time I went to Africa. My first trip was to Uganda. I went to Kenya later, and so. And then that was just a novelty. They didn't believe. There was a white man that believed marriage and divorce the way the prophet preached it. So they just wanted me to come see if it was true or not. And so, but then we met some real brothers and developed a relationship. And we had good times, hard times. With Brother Gumba, we've had a really lasting relationship. And some other brothers also, so it's been really good. Let's get into the message now, because I have a lot here. This title now, "The Love of God Is Not in You." Now, I know that's kind of brash, and Brother Michael come back there and said, is this correct? Is this right? So, but we know this is a scripture, right? This is a part of a scripture. There's a scripture that says this: the love of God is not in you. And so I want to talk about it. And so then you see the next line there is going to show, this was some other titles, and I didn't get them taken out. So I just left them there. I had a couple more that's not here. But I went with this one just for some reason. And I'm going to start with a scripture in 1 John 2:15. And the scripture is, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father." Is it? It's not of the Father. But is of the world. So if you have those things, then the love of God's not in you, right? That's what he's saying. So we know there's two kinds of love. There's the filial love, which is a natural love. It's a fleshly love. And Brother Ram said, you love with your spirit. So we know that that's where emotion is. That's where that love is. But there's another love, and that is a godly love, and that is agape love. And so that love, you can only have it when Christ is on the inside. And when Christ is on the inside, then that love, it's projected. Brother Ram said that when love is projected, when that love of God is projected, it's projecting Jesus Christ.
And if he's not in there, then you just naturally love the world. That's it. Just it's a simple equation. And people can complicate it and they can do this and this and this, but it comes down to either you receive the word or you reject the word. That's all there is to it. And in its simplicity. And so the new birth is the same way in its simplicity. In its simplicity, you're either the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that anointing is upon your spirit, or that baptism of the Holy Ghost is the annihilation of that old nature and that soul, which is the soul. And so when that soul dies, then that seed of God is quickened to life. And when it's quickened to life, now that is God. And that is eternal life. That's the Spirit of God being quickened, coming forth, and manifesting itself in you. And then that's the love of God. There's a difference. It's when you're born again, then you have the love of God. And so that's just the only way you can have it. That's just what it is. So 1 John 2:17, continuing. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So I've seen if you love the world or the things of the world, that love of God is not in you. But he that doeth the will of God. And so that is related. And so that's related because you can't do the will of God, neither can you know God, unless he's on the inside, unless he reveals himself to you. So I know that it's, and I think we read some scripture there, or quotes there on Sunday, when he was talking about that free will and that free moral agency. And so I know that I've made a lot of strong statements, and people can easily misunderstand what I believe concerning free will and free moral agency. But I believe that you are making a choice. I believe that you are making a choice, but there's something that is guiding the predestinated, the elect of God. Yes, sir. There's something there that is leading them and guiding them into the decisions that they're making. Amen. Now, there's just no other way that it can be. Right. It don't matter. You can hold on to one side of it if you want to, and people do. And they're strictly 100% that it's your decision, whatever you decide. And I'm not against somebody who wants to believe like that. That's okay. But I believe that, but if I'm leaning one way, I'm leaning the other way. Because you can't come unless he draws you.
That's right?
Right? So that has to be a part of your free will. Your free will is that he's drawing you and that he has put something in you that can be quickened to life, that can receive him. And he said, that's the word. That's the seed. That's the gene. That's the germ. He gave it all kinds of names. And then he brought it all the way down to when it's quickened. That's the soul. That's the nature. That's God himself. And that's all it can be. If you go in from the nature of Satan to the nature of God, then this is God living in you. Okay? And so he said it's the soul that is the thing that he's working on. And soul's in prison. And we're going to read it on Sunday. So it's that soul that God is working on. And so if that's what he's working on. And he said the spirit is created and the flesh is created. And he said, but the soul is eternal. Now, I just like leaving it just like that. I don't think you have to do anything to it. I don't think you have to do anything to that. You know, I know it can get deep and deep and deep and complicated. But there's also, no matter how much you complicate it or how deep you go into it, I should say it like that, not complicate it, but how deep you go into it, there is always a simplicity to it.
Right.
Because that's how God is. God is revealed in simplicity. Amen. That's how he reveals himself. He hides in simplicity. He reveals himself in simplicity. So, I love to hear those preachers that are able to do that and take it deep, 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 deep. That's all wonderful. But then for the rest of us, or for people like me, I don't want to put you there, but for people like me, God has this real simple side of it that it doesn't take a lot of explanation. Right. You know, it's just you were predestinated, you were in him before the foundation of the world. Amen. And then, so when you were born in the natural, then he put something in you that was in him before the foundation of the world, and that something has been waiting to be quickened. And when it's quickened, now Christ is living in you. So that's the simple side of it. And I just like it like that. All right. And this is in leadership. This is where we left off now on Sunday. And I'm going to read a couple there and then a few other places. And, of course, we won't get them all in there. But I'm hoping that you take time to go read the quotes. And especially on Sunday, because I was getting ready about 4 this afternoon. I was reading and I was following something, as always, just checking to see if there's something else to put in there. And when I already have more than I'm going to be able to read, I just think I have to go find something else, make sure. And so when I did, I got all my quotes for Sunday. I still need to study them and prep them, but I got all my quotes for Sunday. And so we're going to read that on Sunday. And but if you want to look at some of those things, or you want to listen to a message, souls in prison. Souls in prison now. Mm-hmm. Brother Rand preached that message. Great message. And so there was something I was going to say, and I'm trying to find it, and I'll get it in a minute. So paragraph 158. We'll just start reading. It'll come back. Now, may I repeat this again? In the kosher, in the offering, see, the atonement in the days of Moses. When Moses brought the children out, there was to be 7 days. Now, you know, there were 7 feasts, and then in these feasts, some of them, I think at least 2 of them were 7 days. The feast was 7 days. So there was to be 7 days that there was to be no leaven among the people. Anyone knows that. And Brother Branham said that was the type of the 7 church ages. That those 7 feast days was a type of the 7 church ages. See? Anyone knows that. In the Exodus. Now, in no leavened bread shall be found in your camp at all. 7 days. Now, you know what the leaven is. The leaven is the yeast that rise, that makes the dough rise, that makes the bread. And you're going to have the same bread without the yeast, without the leaven. And you can bake that bread and you can eat that bread, but you know that it's just flat bread. It's just flat because there was nothing there to make it rise. And so he's saying here that these 7 days, these 7 church ages, they were to have no leaven whatsoever in their camp, in their houses, in their homes. They were to get it out. It wasn't even allowed to be in there, because it was a separation time, and it couldn't be mixed with nothing else. For this feast days, for these 7 feast days, there was to be nothing there that could contaminate this bread. Which maybe in the regular days of the year, you wanted it contaminated. You wanted that because you like that. But this is the time God was saying that you must not have it. They must not have that mixed in at all. And that was going to be a type of the 7 church ages that were going to come forth thousands of years from that time. Right. Thousands of years later, there was going to be a time that these words were going to be applied to the messages of the 7 church ages. Amen. So the 7 days represented the full 7 church ages. See? That's right. No leaven. Now, what is that? What's the leaven? See? No creed. No world. See? Jesus said, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. And so This scripture here, I have to credit Brother Holmes for this, because this was something I always wondered about, I always struggled with, I didn't understand it. I asked Brother Holmes one time, I said, Brother, I said, this doesn't make sense to me. I said, here, the prophet is telling us over and over and over again that they're not to have any leaven. Okay? There's nothing to be mixed in there. And I said, they only had a little bit of word. They only had a little bit of revelation. They didn't have the fullness all the way through. And so it looked like it was mixed. And the wheat and the tares were together. They were together there. Christ was in the church. He was in there. And it wasn't time to separate them. And I said, so then we have Luther, who smoked his cigars and he baptized in a Trinitarian doctrine and all of these different things. And I said, how can we say that it was unleavened? How can we say it wasn't mixed? And so this is what he told me, and it makes sense to me. He said, it's just like when he's talking about perfection. In perfection, the word perfection is, or maturity, word perfection and maturity is has some of the same meaning, same thing. Okay, so let's just take Gabriel there, and Gabriel just had a birthday now, and he's 10 years old, and so Gabriel, he's a very smart young man, so he can do a lot of things. Okay, but he's not a 20-year-old man, right? He's a 10-year-old man. He's a 10-year-old. So for a 10-year-old, he's perfect. Is that right? He's perfect. See? Cameron, how old are you? 15. So same for Cameron. He's 15 years old. And so now for a 15-year-old, he's perfect. He knows what a 15-year-old is supposed to know. Gabriel knows what a 10-year-old is supposed to know. See? So he's mature. And so in those ages, they were mature for the age. They were perfect for the age. Because that's what God had in his mind to manifest in that day. So even when they were losing revelation, they were still in the perfection as God seen them. So there was no leaven. There was no leaven there because it was the word that was being made manifest. And so Brother Branham said Luther could not manifest what we manifest today. He said because it wasn't known. It wasn't known. So it hadn't become of age. It had not matured to that place yet. And so I think that's right. I think that's exactly right. In every one of those ages, they were maturing as God lets us mature in the revelation. And so then, that's why this age is so great. Because once the seals opened up, then it opened the door for Christ to invite you, the bride, to come up higher. Amen. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And that's somebody just asked that question just recently. How could the Bible say in Revelation chapter 1 that John was in the Spirit? And then God began to reveal all of these things, revealing the seven church ages, revealing all of those things. And then in Revelation chapter 4, now he's telling him once again to come up higher, and John was caught up in the Spirit. Well, if he's already in the Spirit, then how does this make sense? It makes sense because he was in the Spirit. They were in the Spirit. But now when that door in heaven was opened in chapter 4 and verse 1, now John is told to come higher in the Spirit.
Right.
Now he's told to come higher into Christ.
Amen.
Into the Word, into the revelation.
Yes,
and that's where we're at. That's where we're living at now.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's the love of God. That's the love of God in you. And so when that love of God comes in you, then it moves the world out.
Amen.
Because if the world is in there, then the love of God's not even in you. There's no life there.
Amen.
So, And I think, I had it on my mind to say it, but, and I think I might have said it a few minutes ago, but if I didn't, let me repeat it. That, so what was happening during that time, that baptism was on their spirit, right? That baptism was on their spirit. It was anointing their spirit, right? Now, if they were a predestinated seed, then they were going to be quickened to life, right? So, but with that same exact anointing upon their spirit, if there wasn't a seed there, then they couldn't be. There was nothing to quicken. So they weren't born by the word. They were born by an intellectual faith. And so, but now the difference now is it's not on your spirit; it's on your soul. Now it's that soul has to die, and the seed is quickened and manifests God Himself. Jesus said, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. See, we're trying to mix that. And you can't do it now. You've got to come to one thing to believe. Huh? And he said that all through the message many different ways. There's only one thing, and that is you got to believe. And no man can believe that Jesus is the Christ, right? Except by the Holy Ghost. Except by the new birth. That's the only way you can believe that He's come in flesh today. That's the only way. That's just the same thing that they had to believe in that day, that God Himself had come in flesh. And that was in the veil of Jesus Christ. That was God in flesh in that day. And many people couldn't believe it. They could not receive it. They couldn't understand it. It was too simple. It was too simple to think that, and that humility, remember that humility, because that was a lot of their problem. They just couldn't believe that He could humble Himself like this. They couldn't believe that He could be born in a manger. They couldn't believe that He would let them slap Him around and spit on Him and take Him to Calvary. So Satan knew that there'd never been a gift like this on the earth. Everybody knew that. Even these preachers, these teachers, they even said as much. But at the same time, they just couldn't get over the hump because of the humility of God. And so, it's the same. When you are expressing the same thing, then they have a hard time. They have a hard time. Okay, where was we here? So you can't mix it together, and you can't hold to them old things that the other church before you did. And it's been a long time since we read that quote, but Brother Branham said that when God raises up a prophet, messenger on the scene, he said it changes the whole system. Yes, he said if a prophet comes along, if somebody comes along and starts preaching, and they're just preaching the same thing that everybody's been preaching, he said, you know that's not God. Right. Huh? Yeah. Now that is a big and powerful statement. Yes, and that's the problem for a lot of message people, because they don't really believe that. They believe that it's right here. And that's what's wrong. And I'm sorry that I called the group's name on Sunday, but it's kind of ironic. And so I'm not going to run from it now. The name of the group is End Time Message Believers. Okay. So by the end of the service on Sunday, they had put me out. So after service, I thought I'm going to post a couple of quotes on there, real good quotes. And so far I had only posted some, scriptures. And because somebody, actually Brother Joshua, they had asked about, Brother Gumba had been talking to him, and then Joshua comes on, they're asking the question about the rapture, and so Joshua, he just don't mince any words. He just said, I've been raptured. So that's it, I've been raptured. And so, you know, all of the arguments that go along with that. So I tried to send him some scripture, and I took him back in Colossians, where Paul told those people in that day that they had been translated. I said, so tell me what happened to those people. How were they translated? You know, How were they translated? Just like Paul told them also in Colossians 3 that they were dead. So how were they dead? How were they dead? How were they translated? How were these things? How were these things happening? And how is it that Paul could say those things in his day, but we can't say it today? Why? Yeah, that's all that we're saying. We're saying the same thing Paul said. That you've been caught up. You've been caught up into the kingdom. You are right now, not you're going to be, you are right now sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's just that simple. And so you are caught up in the revelation of Jesus Christ today, not of another day. And that's what happened to them. Because the revelation of that day was that God was in flesh. And the revelation of this day is that God is in flesh. Right. He did. He came to not the same fleshly body that hung on the cross, but another body. He took another body and he came down and he began to manifest himself again. He did the same things. Amen. He discerned the secrets of the hearts. He raised the dead. He opened the blinded eyes. He did everything that he's ever done. And then the people can't recognize who it is. They know that it just baffles them. It baffles them. They look at it and they say, this is unbelievable. This is miraculous. This is all of those things, but yet you're just a man. That's what they told him. You're just a man. Yeah. So I really hated that. I got kicked out of the group because I really was excited about sharing with them. I had some good quotes I wanted to share with them. And I thought, you know, I don't know what happened. But then it only took a couple of days and I got kicked out of another group. And this is, you know, the groups that we have for Kenya, boy, they can just be rough and tough. Now, you can talk hard, you can talk straight, you can talk, I mean, sometimes it can be a knockdown drag out. And nobody kicks you out. You know, you got to be a pretty bad, you'd have to be on the, really do something bad to get kicked out. But you're not going to get kicked out for posting quotes. No, you're not going to get kicked out for that. Don't matter how good or bad your quotes are, you're not going to get kicked out for that. But these, they don't want, they're not allowing you to post the quotes. And all I had posted was scriptures for the other ones. And so they put me out of that one too. And so Brother Guma and them, they were the forerunners, so they had already, it was already too much for them. But it's amazing. It's amazing that the people don't want to hear even what the Bible says or even what the prophet said. In other words, not coming with the spirit of argument or criticism, because that's more what they're doing. And I've tried to be very kind, and just post. Just put the scripture there and say, look at this, look at this. No, you know, criticism or anything else. And so then the third group, they took me aside. That means the boss got me on private chat, and he said, this group is just for healing and miracles and prayer. It is not for doctrine. And so that I can honor that. If that's what they designed this group for, just for people praying for each other, that's fine. But if you're out there and you call yourself the end time message believers, and then you say that this is number one and the message is somewhere else, then you need to change your name.
That's right.
You need to change your name to Bible believers. Just say you believe the Bible, which you don't. If you don't believe that this prophet had brought the revelation, then you don't believe the Bible. Because the Bible is what tells us that there was a Malachi 3 and a Malachi 4 and a Luke 17 and a Revelations 10. It's the Bible telling us those things. So they can't, they try to say they believe the Bible and it's first, and then they believe the message somewhere down there. They don't.
That's right.
They don't. And so it's an intellectual thing that they're trying to believe, and It's like what we used to run into many years ago, that they said that once we get them to Jesus, then we'll tell them about the prophet. Well, that sounds logical, but it's not.
Right.
You can't know Jesus Christ except by the messenger of your day.
Amen.
If you wanted to know God in John the Baptist's day, you are going to listen to a man who didn't go to school, who was dressed in camel skin, who ate insects, who did all the things that he did, and he condemned the priest, and he condemned the nation, and he condemned everybody. And that's where God was. God was revealing himself in that. And that's what they can't get that. They can go back and say, I would have believed John. No, they wouldn't have. If they can't believe the Bible today, if they can't believe William Branham today, and I'll just say it because this is where it's at. If they can't believe the bride today, because the thing that is going to bring people together is the revelation.
Yes, sir.
And so when you are speaking the revelation, if it's a predestinated seed, God is going to quicken to them the revelation.
That's right.
And then there's not going to be a fight. There's not going to be no argument there. You're both going to believe that this is God in word form. That's what it is.
Amen.
So, all right, paragraph 160. Now, he said, what was left over, don't let it stay till morning, see, to come into this other age. See, burn it with fire. Now, Brother Goomba was talking about, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him before he left, but I wasn't getting him 100% on the last message that he preached, but he did say one time, he kept talking about the gap. And so I wasn't getting it together, but my mind went back. He said, he was talking one time about a lap over. He was talking about a lap over, and he's using the word gap for an overlap. And Brother Branham talked about an overlap. And so sometimes we use the word gap a little bit different. But that's what he was meaning. I think that's what he was meaning. And so, but I didn't get a chance to talk to him about it. But the message, you've seen the quotes, all of that, it was exactly what Brother Branham said. But I wasn't clear on when he was talking about the gap. But he was talking about that overlap. And Brother Branham said there was an overlap in every age. So it's not like everybody come together and they're standing there and okay, now we have a new messenger on the age and we all followed Luther, and so now Wesley, we want to know what's the furtherance. That's not how it works. No, never did work like that, did it? But God sends his spirit out and somehow gets to them somehow. He gets to everyone, didn't he? He gets over there in Africa, he gets in India, he gets in Pakistan, and he gets in America and the Philippines. He sends his spirit.
Right.
His spirit, and he can anoint somebody, and they'll say something. And you know, you don't know how many times that something you said, that it makes an impression or it turns somebody another way. You don't know. Sometimes you speak to people, and you may tell them about the message, or you just may, you might tell them that, you know, what God has done for you, or you just say something concerning the Lord and his blessings upon you, and it does something to people. It makes an impression. Sometimes we think sometimes we have to see this thing play out in their whole life. No. Sometimes you just have one little part. You might only get to speak one sentence, or you might just speak to them 30 minutes or an hour one time.
Right.
And you may never see them again.
Right.
They may be going somewhere else and you never see them again. But what God had you do was what they needed.
Yes.
And that's how God operates.
Right.
He said that John the Baptist was what? Was 30 years? Was he 30 years old? I think John was 30 years old. And for what? Brother Branham said for 6 months.
Right.
For 6 months.
Right.
He went through all of that at 9 years old. At 9 years old, he went into the wilderness. And he lived that kind of life until he was 30. And he came out of the wilderness with a message from God for 6 months. What about that? What about that? Are we willing just to let God use us for that moment in time? Are we willing to surrender ourselves that God can use us? You know, for Brother Branham, it was as long as John's whole life. For Brother Branham, it was like 33 years of ministry, something like that. And so, you know, how about Noah? 120 years. Huh? He preached. He preached for 120 years while building the ark. But God might call you for 5 minutes. The thing is, are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do? However long He wants you to do it, whenever He wants you to do it. Huh? That's surrender. That's where we're supposed to be, a full surrender in everything to God. See, and don't leave it over till the next morning. See, it's got to come over into this age. Burn it with fire. See, be destroyed, that the age that you're living in, the message of this age, see, it's got to be brought out of the Scriptures and vindicated and proved by God that it's God doing so. See, then you either receive it or you reject it. Now, I hope I said it right a while ago. Did I say it was Luther that drank his beer? Or did I say Wesley? It was Luther. It was Luther. So if I said that wrong, you forgive me. I just felt checked there. I don't know why. But they didn't have all the word. They didn't have all of it. But what they had, they stood against. Luther did a powerful thing to stand against the Catholic Church. He could have been put to death. At any time, he could have been put to death for a stand like that. See, it's got to be, that the age that you're living in, the message of this age, it's got to be brought out of the Scriptures and vindicated and proved by God that it's God doing so. And then you either receive that or you reject it. That's eternal life. Huh? That's eternal life. By receiving or rejecting what God has done. And that receiving is an obedience. It's an obedience that you begin to live that life. You begin to follow that revelation that God now has revealed to you. It's got to be brought out. And it can't come over from age to age, even though there's a lap over there. What's back there is finished. And you know, there's a lot of people that are using that quote, because they got quotes. There's always quotes. There's a quote there for everything you want to believe. And so Brother Branham said, I preached the same thing Paul preached. Yes, he did. Because that's what the seventh church age was supposed to do. It was supposed to bring back all of that plus. And it did that. And then when that finished, it was done. Then that was not to come over into this age. Amen. No, that was the finishing. That was the finishing because when that age was closing out, he was now changing his ministry. He had been a mediator, an intercessor for 2,000 years. And now that ministry of Christ was finishing. And he's going to take the book now he's going to come forth and he's going to redeem, he's going to reveal the names of the elect. Right. And how's he going to do that? He's going to reveal the mysteries of the book. He's going to reveal the mysteries, and the elected ones on the earth or have the ability to believe what he's saying. Amen. So, Brother Branham said, the mysteries. Right. The mysteries are calling the names. Yes, sir. So, you can... Not so beautiful, isn't it? Amen. You just... He just tells you the mystery of redemption, right? He tells you the mystery of the rapture, right? And then that mystery, as it's being revealed to you, and you know that you're caught up in Christ, that's that rapturing. Brother Branham said that that rapturing without death, what did he say it was? He said it's rapturing out of the seventh church age.
Amen.
That's what he said. He said you're raptured out of the seventh church age into Christ.
Amen.
Into this revelation. It's a revelation. And it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Word. And he's not the Word of another day that's passed, that's died. No, now he's the Word of this day. That's the revelation. And when it's revealed to you, that is the mystery calling your name. And it's bringing you into the presence of God, and that's where you're living. See, it's got to be brought out of the Scripture. And now, that's why that we believe this Bible. We're not throwing this away. We believe the New Testament. We believe the Old Testament. Yeah. It's not obsolete now. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That'll always be, thus saith the Lord. That's the creation story. And there Adam and Eve fail. And how they fail and why they fail. Those things are there. But the New Testament added some more to it. The New Testament comes along and tells us in 1 John 3 a little bit about Cain. He was of that wicked one. And our prophet comes along and he tells us, have you noticed now, Cain is not in Adam's genealogy. But that in 1 John 3 is identifying Cain's genealogy.
That's right.
He's of that wicked one. And so you got to have all of it together. That's why this is our Bible.
Right.
See? And this is just making this more real, more alive. It's living.
Amen.
It's fulfilled. That's fulfilled.
Right.
But it's here and it's living. All of it together. We're not throwing nothing away. There was a time that I kind of thought that. And there's that old story there that if you only had your choice, if you had your choice of only this or only this, what would you take? Well, it'd have to be this.
Right.
It'd have to be because this is the revelation of this.
Right.
So, but that's ridiculous because that's not going to be.
Amen.
It's never going to be that I got to make that choice.
That's right.
So I want all of this and I want all of this and they go together perfectly.
Amen.
So we don't have to say that. But you sometimes you just say those things for those people that need to be blowed out of the water.
Right.
That's what he said. And I'm not saying that facetiously. Brother Branham said in Unveiling of God, he said, some things are said to throw them off.
Yes, sir.
And he said, and that is done purposely.
That's right.
So however God anoints, and that's what I say. If you're talking to somebody and God anoints you to just water it down just a little bit for them to get it, then just water it down.
Right.
And if God anoints you to just bam,
yes, sir,
hit it as hard as you can, then you just do what God is leading you to do.
That's right.
Because I've seen it both ways. And if you let God do it, God's going to get them.
Amen.
Some people need that.
Yes,
and some people, they're just weak. They're just weak. They got to have a little bit of milk.
Yep.
You're going to bring them with a little bit of milk or you're going to choke them up. And so, I hate to say that, but it's true. It's true. Some people are just weak. And so, you baby them a bit, and God will bring them right where they need to be.
Amen.
He'll bring them right where they need to be. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at babying. I'd rather just say it straight how it is. That's how I prefer it. Sometime I think that's out there. So, and Paul said, I could only give you milk because that's all the far along as you are. And so, all right, I keep getting sidetracked, or I'm talking too much or something. Now, let's read this one more time. It's got to be brought out of the Scriptures. And that's what our prophet did. He always brought it out of the scriptures. So, even if it was he was talking about the spoken word, he brought it out of the scriptures. He showed us the spoken word in every age. And he said, now is the spoken word in this day. In this day. See? And prove by God that it's God doing so. Prove by God that it's God doing so. Then you either receive that or you reject it. See, that's eternal life. Leadership of the Holy Spirit, leading His church. Oh, we could stay on that a long time, but let's just keep moving along. That's right. See, now we're back in the scriptures again, because I had about three or four scriptures, and so I just strung them out through here. And so this is one. 39. Search the scriptures. For in them, in the scripture, you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And that's just a great scripture, a powerful scripture. And it applies around the world through every age. That scripture has been a challenge. And I can remember when I first started on the mission field, I probably used that scripture more than any other scripture. It was going to get said at least once in every message. I was going to say it as a challenge to the people. For search the scripture. Because I knew that I was telling people things that they had never heard before. Many of them, they'd never not even heard of a prophet. And so you can't go too deep with somebody. They've never even heard a prophet. Now you're going to tell them they're in the rapture. So... there is some stepping stones that you need to work with people. See? And you will not come to me that ye might have life. This is where people are at. And this is the people that we're trying to talk to. This is where they're at. They don't want to hear you. They already have a following. They already have a group of people. And they don't want you messing with that group of people. And so when you throw... I don't know, it's the first time I did it, but Brother Michael, when he's sending out the link for the services and the quotes for the services, I don't know how many groups that you send to, but at least six or seven? At least six or seven groups. Okay, so these are different groups, different countries, different places, different ideas. And so Sunday morning, I sent to at least five more. Some of them were individuals, so it could have been six or seven. But so I sent at least that again. And so some of those groups don't like that. They don't like that. They fully control their group. And so then at night, when they stop, you're not posting like we do on what we're used to in Kenya and our groups. That you can just keep posting all night long. Those cut it off at night. Nobody can post, only the administrator. And so when the administrator comes back the next day, he can open it back up and let people post again. And so he's always in control of everything. And as soon as you say something he don't like, then of course he zips you and you can't say anything else until you get approval from up on high. And so that's how it is. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Now, this is a second time in the scripture that is saying this. It says, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. Now, he's telling this group of people that I'm not receiving my honor from men. My honor is coming from God. I'm here for one purpose, and that's to please God, to obey God, to fulfill the will of God. And so that's the same thing we're supposed to be doing. And so Jesus is telling these people, I know that ye have not the love of God in you. And I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. This has been going on for thousands of years. Thousands of years. This is not just New Testament, Nicolaitan spirit that came forth in the New Testament. But this is also in the Old Testament with Pharisees. Those groups were in the Old Testament. Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and Herodians, all these different groups, they were there. They didn't just start the day Jesus walked up. They were there. They were building their ideas all this time that's going on. See? If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Praise God. All right, so we certainly didn't get very far, but we are going to read just a couple more paragraphs, okay? All right, this is paragraph 162. The choice of your conduct now, you can't mix it now. You're either for God or against God. Remember what he said about the leaven? Don't mix it. No creeds, no dogmas, no intellect, none of that stuff. Don't mix it. See? You're either for God or against God. And the outward expressions shows exactly what's on the inside. See? The cucklebur. Many of you think. Now he's talking to the people right there sitting, listening to him preach. He's telling them what their doctrinal belief is. Many of you think, I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to heaven. See? That don't mean one thing that you're going to heaven. Do you know what this did, not only to those people sitting there listening to him, but even years later, before it became a reality to us? These things laid in the message for years and years before people began to preach these things. Because some of them was reading it, they weren't understanding it. Or they just were taking it as there was the wheat and the tares, and you know, one had it, one didn't have it. But this was a revelation. This was a mystery that was calling the names of the elect. This was something that was never known before from the foundation of the world. And now he's speaking it. And even the full meaning of what he's saying had to be searched out, because he don't say it all at one place. He's just making a blunt statement. Just like the title is a blunt statement. The love of God's not in you. He's talking to that group of people that cannot believe and cannot obey the word of God. That cannot recognize the presence of God in the day that they live in. Amen. They can't. See? The cucklebur. See the cucklebur? Many of you think, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to heaven. Don't mean one thing that you're going to heaven. No, sir. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour in your life and still be lost and go to hell. The Bible says so. Huh? That's the scripture. It's right in here. Yeah, we need to read it sometime, don't we? That's exactly right. See? Look here. You are an outside person. See? And remember, he just got done telling us it's got to be vindicated by the scripture. All these mysteries that he's revealing, the spoken word, that had never been known, never been said just like that before, he has a basis in the scriptures for everything that he's preaching. There's a basis there. It'll go right through. It's not going to be as blunt and as plain, but the basis is there. Look here. You're an outside person. You have five senses that contact the outside body. God gave you five senses, not to contact him, your earthly home. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. Then you have a spirit on the inside of that. Huh? You got a body and you got a spirit. Inside of your fleshly body is a spirit. And it has five inlets too. Just like the see, taste, feel, smell. See? Conscience, love. I didn't even think to pull them out. Help me out. Memory. And that's good enough. I have them, but I forget them. Five outlets that you contact your spirit world with, see? But with your spirit. Your physical contacts the physical. And your spiritual contacts the spiritual, see? But inside of that, you've got a soul. Huh? You got an outer fleshly body, five inlets. You got a spirit inside of that, five inlets to contact that. But inside of that spirit, see? Inside of that, you've got a soul. And that soul is that gene that come from God. Amen. Now, this is in December 1965. This is when the prophet is seeking to go off the scene. Now, when we read out of Souls in Prison on Sunday, Brother Branham is going to say that this message he's bringing, he was waiting to bring it home. He said, because I promised the people I would always bring it back here to Jeffersonville. I'd always do that. And so he did. And you watch those messages, those main messages, he got back to Jeffersonville and he preached them. But you look at the end. He ran out of time. And so you look at the last series, you look where he preached rapture. It was out there in the field. And things that are to be. And invisible union. And when he preached then this time, modern events and God's chosen place of worship. Look how deep those messages were. Look how deep they were. He was saying things like this. See, this is in leadership. This was also when he went to California after Shreveport. This is December the 7th. Okay, now, there's no time left. These messages have got to come now, and so he's not going to be able. He's not ever going back to finish this up. Now, where did he preach communion? Jeffersonville. Maybe. So he went back for that one last message, I think. I don't remember, but I don't, just in case. So, but inside of that, you got a soul. And that soul is the gene that come from God. And like a baby formed in its mother's womb, when that baby comes into the mother's womb by that little germ, you listening? It crawls into the egg. It doesn't form one cell, a human, and the next a dog, and the next a cat, and the next a horse. It's all human cells. So remember, every seed brings forth of its kind. And so that seed in you, there's only one form of eternal life. It can't be one cell of this, and one cell of that, and one cell of that. If it is eternal life, it is God and God only. It is the Word. On the Word, on the Word, on the Word. Every cell is the Word. There's nothing else. See? It's all human cells because it's building off of an original human cell. All right, this is where we're ending. And when a man that's been born again by the Word of God, predestinated to eternal life, called the elected, it will be Word of God on top of Word. See? Word on word, not a denominational creed, and then a word and a creed. It won't work. You can't have that leaven in it, see? There's only one eternal life, Jesus Christ the Word. See, that was another possibility for the title right there. So we'll end with that one. Only one eternal life, Jesus Christ the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And, we have one more scripture. Let's read it. That's only a few verses. Okay. 1 John 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The intellectual mind has saved millions and millions of people by reading this scripture intellectually. Because all they have to do is say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, born of God, is born of God. Huh? And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Huh? Let's read it again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So that's what Brother Branham said in the Church Ages book, the elect does not persecute the elect.
Right.
Can't do it. By this, We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Huh? That's how you know if they love God or not. That's how you know. Look at their life. It's surrendered. Look at the love for the Word. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Now we could spend some time on that, couldn't we? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our what? Our revelation. Even the revelation that we cannot produce, but comes from God only. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Of all revelation, He is it. And so He's the one who's revealing this thing to us. He's the one that's quickening the seed that He put in you. Yes. You're making your own choice because of that seed that's in you. That's the only thing you want, is you want Him.
That's right.
If that seed ain't in there, you're never going to want Him. Right. It don't matter how religious you are, don't matter how much you want to be a worshiper of God, you will never be. You can't.
Amen.
Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
Now, this is sounds a little bit light today, but 2,000 years ago, this was a powerful, powerful statement.
Amen.
Because they weren't believing that this was the Son of God. So now, it's the same thing, but just a little bit a different manifestation. It's still God in flesh, but not that flesh. So the same thing. So, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus has come in flesh today in this last days?
That's right.
Amen. Praise be to God. Let us stand together. Praise his name. Let us bow our heads. We'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for all revelation. Lord, because you are the one who, before the foundation of the world, predestinated every seed. And you placed it, Lord. And as we were in our great, great, great grandfather, so were we in you. And Lord, waiting for that manifestation, waiting for that quickening power. And Lord, it's come to pass in this day. And Lord, may you just bless each one. Lord, just your bride around the world, every nation and kindred and tongue and tribe. Lord, draw us day by day. Let us, Lord, be in service. If you would have us speak one word or 100 words, Lord, let us be moved by your Spirit, Lord, led in all things. Lord, we pray for our brother Goomba, Lord, that you would just anoint him, just richly, Lord, just give him a special anointing and words, Lord, for each individual that he would talk to. Lord, just what they have need of. We know the time is short. Lord, we know that the Spirit is catching each one, each seed, Lord, wherever they are. Lord, be with our brother, Lord, and give him the message, Lord, for every place that he visits and each individual. Lord, we just commit all to you now. Bless our brother Richard, Lord, as he's recovering. Those that are not here tonight, that you would be with them, Lord, make the way for them. Let us have this fellowship in your presence, Lord, as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you so much. You are dismissed.